Today's a good word. I've come to encourage you. You should have handouts already given to you. And today is going to be like a fun-filled faith word. But it's about a subject. If you announce the subject, people say, well, that's work. That's not going to be fun to do. I promise you. I told somebody, I thought about calling this the No Excuse Sunday. Well, anyway, let's look at it right now. I like the word. I told somebody that I'm going to call it No Excuse Sunday. You remember as kids and as young people, we'd go to a youth meeting and we'd sing and we'd cry and we'd say, I have decided to follow Jesus. And we meant it. We meant it. No turning back. But sometimes life happened and we found ourselves not quite following the way we should. But it is a song of discipleship, and I hope to get that song burning in your heart before you even leave our time together right now. I want to share some good words of strength right now. I like what Galatians chapter 5 says it this way. He says to the people, Paul was writing, he said, now look, you guys were running so well. You ran in the race so well, but you know, things have slowed down a bit. He said, who has held you back from following the truth? I think the King James language is, who hindered you? And we have a lot of hindrances in our life when we've made a commitment of following Christ, a commitment of discipleship, sometimes even a commitment of reading the Word and walking in prayer and walking in devotion today. And I hope today that I'm going to encourage you. We've got the mindset that if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, I know people don't think that's in the Bible in the world today, but it's in the Word. But in the Proverbs, talking about this, it says the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. In other words, he hadn't done the work. He's not getting anything. But diligence is a man's precious possession. Well, if we're diligent with the Word and our discipleship walk, it is going to be a precious thing in our lives when we need it the most. Now, what's the biggest enemy of diligence? What's the biggest enemy that says on December 31st, when the new year comes, I'm going to get up and I'm going to exercise, or I'm going to join the gym, or I'm going to start eating better, or when we talk about I'm going to turn over a new leaf? I think that's why God gives us a new week, you know, every 7 days, a new month, a new year, to give us these opportunities in our mind, landmarks in our mind, to make some changes, to do things differently. But what's the biggest enemy of diligence? Simple. Excuses. Excuses. Excuse me, please. Back in the 1970s, one of the stand-up comedians, his whole act was based on the two words, excuse me. And as kids, we'd say it. I mean, it became a part of our daily expression. Well, excuse me. Well, sometimes we live our life and we've messed up and we want to stop and say to somebody, excuse me. Excuses are hilarious. They're dangerous. But listen to some fun ones right now. You know, we are so eloquent with excuses. I don't know about you, but it came natural to me. It came natural to most of us as kids. I know the two that lived in our house, they were masters of diversion and excuses and transferal to somebody else. I've read some of these before, but I went and pulled some out of the file. Here's some insurance excuses for accidents. Number one, the other car collided with mine without warning me of its intention. That's a good one. This is a fun one. I pulled away from the side of the road, I glanced at my mother-in-law, and I headed over the embankment. Here's another one. The pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him. Next one. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. Those are real excuses on insurance forms. And probably police reports are just as funny. How about work excuses? We've all overslept, or we've got other work excuses why we can't. I know some people that they've had so many relatives die, more relatives than they have. But work excuses. Here's one I'd never seen before. My false teeth flew out of the window while driving down the highway. That's a good one. I had to go back. The employee said he couldn't come to work because his fortune teller had asked him not to step out of the house or he would suffer a brain hemorrhage. That's an excuse. Here's a late excuse. I thought it was Sunday. In other words, we don't go anywhere. We sleep in. I hope you guys don't do that. Here's the most, you know, some of the most used excuses. Number one, I forgot. The next excuse, nobody told me. And especially in the world in which we live today, it's not my job. We see that all the time. Probably the most famous excuse is the school excuse. You know what I'm going to say. The dog ate my homework. We didn't even have dogs, but I had to use that a few times. Well, that's not at all unusual. Excuses is part of carnal man, and it's what we do. It's born in us. It came from our father, Adam. We inherited the ability to make excuses when things hadn't gone right. You want to see this right now? You want to see the first excuse? Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. The man said, talking to God, "The woman you gave me, in fact, the New Living says, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate it." And the Lord God then looks over at her and said, "Is this what you've done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Here we have right here the first recorded excuse. I don't know about you, but I had a PhD in excuses as a kid. The first depiction of passing the buck happened in the garden. Excuses, they've been around and they've written about it for years. Ben Franklin, this is probably something he put in one of those, the almanacs he used to write. We used to read about it all the time. Ben Franklin said, "He that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else." George Washington Carver, 99% of the failures come from people who have the habit of making excuses. Ouch. Come on, I told you we're going to have a little fun, but that's not fun, is it? Well, this is the famous one you've heard so many times. I think Lincoln used it, many others. The poor workman always blames his tools. There's always a reason. I've come to encourage you today, don't look for an excuse. Jump in with both feet. Jump in with both feet. And this thing of discipleship, set a goal, do it, stay with it day after day. Be encouraged because God will respond to that. You know the cruel truth about excuses? Excuses birth more excuses. It's kind of like lies. You start with a lie, and as it goes on, you have to tell another lie to cover for that lie, and then you have a litany of lies, and you just line your, as Grandma said, your backside off. We're not going to be those kind of people. We are not going to have those kinds of excuses. Be encouraged today. When we sign up for the journey of the kingdom of God, we must realize this. The kingdom of God is looking for a no-excuse army. Somebody who will sign up and say, hey, in fact, I have one of our longtime friends had a great, great sermon that he preached for many, many years, and I need to go find it, maybe preach it to you. He said, "I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden." That ought to be in Proverbs. He's looking for a no-excuse army. Today, the word discipleship doesn't merely mean following, but it is a deeper thing. It is an understanding that it is going to cost. It is the cost, the things that will cost us to follow Jesus. You know, we think right now we're going to pray a prayer and sing a song and all of our problems are going to go away. But what we're really doing right now, we're equipping you so that when those problems do come, you know, Jesus said it. I wish he hadn't have said it this way. He said, "In this world you will have tribulation." You know, I wish that's not there, but it's there. In the world, you will have tribulations. Who said it? Jesus. He said, "But be of good cheer, because I have given you the ability to overcome, and I've overcome the world." And that is in you. That starts when we decide to be a disciple and we decide to count the cost. That's the connecting thought in discipleship. Because when we're getting ready to build something, well, let me just show you what the word says right now. Luke chapter 9 is a very eventful chapter, and Jesus talks about how certain men responded to the call of God on their lives. It said they happened as they journeyed on the road that someone, well, Luke said someone, Matthew called him a scribe. He could have been somebody kind of really taking notes and watching and probably very religious and very self-righteous. But it said a scribe said to Jesus, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." Now, many people would say, "Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful?" That guy said, "Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere." But he was doing it for an audience. It was a public boasting type. It was an arrogant type thing. And in fact, it was for everybody to hear. You know, a lot of people will do things only if somebody sees it and somebody hears them. You know, it's important to be able to stand up and to sing and to speak and to all those things. But it's more important those who come early and they've opened the doors, those who've practiced the songs, those who've done the work, those who've cleaned the building. You don't see those things. And a lot of people don't want to serve if they can't be seen. But the real discipleship is we do it as unto God. So Jesus says to this guy, after he makes this pronouncement, it's almost like he's going to ignore him. And Jesus said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have their nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, the use of the word Son of Man, Jesus used this term to describe himself more than any other description of himself. We see it over 80 times in the Gospels. We first see that concept and the words together, the Son of Man, actually in the book of Daniel. He's questioning if he had really counted the cost of discipleship. He's telling this boy, he said, this is not all eaten at Mary and Martha's house. This isn't the banquets. This isn't the water into wine. He said, this is a walk. This is a daily walk. It's a tough walk. He was reminding them that this is a fluid journey that we are on. Count the cost. That was one guy. Another one comes up at this time, and he said to another one, follow me. Now, this was a direct invitation. He is saying it directly to this man. The other guy's watching and jumps in and injects himself for all to hear it. But this was a direct invitation from Jesus. He said, follow me. But the man said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. And Jesus said, I've heard people say, oh man, isn't this just, Jesus was, he was pretty cold here. He said, let the dead bury their dead, but you can go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, you need to know, the feeling of what's going on here is not, Daddy wasn't on his deathbed. Daddy was getting old and he had some things to take care of, and eventually he was going to die. So until then, he was going to remain close by. And Jesus is saying, hey man, we can't, daylight's going to be burning out, and you got to get to work for the kingdom of God. In fact, what this actually is, do you remember the story? We talked about the different kinds of seeds, the seeds that come. This is what you call one of those, the cares of life moment that chokes out. Well, I'll read it for you. In the book of Mark, Mark 4, it said, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world. See, this guy, the cares of the world was the thing that was motivating him. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things entering to choke the word, and then that precious seed becomes unfruitful. So it wasn't a question, my daddy's dying right now, I need to wait as soon as I go to the funeral. No, it was going to happen one day, he was saying, and that was more important to take care of those things. You can't be a disciple if you're bogged down by the cares of this world. It will choke out the miracle of that seed. Back to Luke 9, there's a third guy. Verse 61, and another one said, Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. This deals with focus. Looking back is going to be a problem. We sing that song, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. We heard the story about Lot and his family fleeing out of Sodom, and Lot's wife looked back. I heard the story one day. They were teaching it in Sunday school, and they said Lot and his family were leaving Sodom, and they were told not to look back, and God said, go straight ahead. He said, but Lot's wife looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. One little buddy raised his hand. He said, look, my mama was in the parking lot. She looked back and ran into a phone pole. That's not the same thing. It deals with our focus. Are we going to look to him, or are we going to be looking back? Are we going to be torn to these issues right now? He still hadn't got the message. It was a heart message. It's a heart message. A little bit further in verse 14, the story says in the same concept, then Jesus said to him, a certain man gave a great supper. He invited many. He sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all came with one accord, and they began to make excuses. He wanted to do something, but he said no. The first one said, I bought a piece of ground. I have to go see it. I asked to be excused. Excuse me. The other one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen just the other day. I got to go test them out right now. I'm asking, can I be excused also? Still another, well, I married a wife, therefore I can't come. Maybe we'll cut him a little slack, who knows. Said, I married, what are all these things? It is the concept, it's going to cost to follow. It cost in focus, it will cost you in your faith, It'll cost in everything that we have. But I'm telling you, it's a marvelous journey. It's quite a walk. So Jesus, I'm back in Luke 14 right now, verse 27. Jesus said, "Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me and be my disciple, for which of you intends to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he is able to finish it." Stop right here. Those of you, those of us who are in the middle of counting money right now to make sure we have enough to finish in our repairs, or maybe you're having to rebuild totally, we have to see even before we start, can we do this? Do we have the money for it? Reading a thing the other day, you know, different tips they talk about when you're going to buy something. And one of the tips was, hey, before you even go in to look at that car, you need to make sure you can be approved for it. You make sure you can afford it. Make sure it's not a one of those, what do they call, the spur of the moment buys. In fact, in the store, they call it an impulse buy. You know what that is? That's when you're checking out and they've got all those shelves right in that little lane there, and it's high, usually high enough for a kid's eye. It's called an impulse buy. So at the very last minute, you grab those things. Go to Walmart. It's amazing everything you'll see on the impulse buy there. But he's saying, which of you get ready to build and don't count the cost to see if you have enough to finish it? He said, because lest after he has laid the foundation, he's not able to finish it. All those who see it begin to mock him and saying, this man began to build this thing and he wasn't able to finish it. In another town, many, many miles from here, that I've gone to many times, a lot of times on the road, there's a certain landmark that you pass. And it is a building that has been left in disarray. It's been left in disrepair. It never was finished. It was a Christian organization, and they got way out over their skis, as they say. And they didn't have the money to finish this thing. And it has sat for year after year on the side of the road. And instead of something that is a testimony to God's faithfulness and people walking honorably, it's a blight. And it's sad when you see it there. And it's not a good testimony. So Jesus is saying the same thing. Count the cost. Come on, you can do this. He's going to help us too, by the way. He's going to help us in that. He's going to help us afford it if we pay attention and if we stay diligent right now. Discipleship starts with counting the cost. And that's what we must remember. See, because counting the cost isn't just for today. Counting the cost is the account we're going to give of our whole life when this is all over. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 said, each of us will give an account of himself to God. And it's at this point that you can't lapse into, it's the serpent, or it's this woman, or the dog ate it. It's me. That's why we all need to touch God like we never have before in this crazy time. Lord, I want to follow. I don't want to turn back. I want to do great things. And when this is done, when we give that account, the word is very, very clear. There's going to be a party time. There's going to be celebration. I read the word a few days ago that David said when he was overwhelmed at a certain point in his life, he remembered what the word said, and he said, and it created hope in my life, and it brought cheer to me. And I remember saying, and we'd say today, a skip in our step. Discipleship brings that. Even when there's a cost, even when the bullets are flying, even when it's difficult and it's taking every bit of our effort, we are doing it as unto God, and we know there's going to be a great, great celebration when this is over. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I know that's not very user-friendly for the churches of today, but Paul said it. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Wow. That's sobering, isn't it? But I got to tell you, you've counted the cost. You already know you got the money to finish the building, so to speak. Be strong. Don't be fearful. Serve God. Luke chapter 9, back when I talked about the excuses that these people were given. One verse, but I like how the Message Bible said it. Luke 9, verse 62 in the Message Bible. He said, Jesus said this, no procrastination. How many of you said you're gonna stop procrastinating tomorrow? Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off until tomorrow. So, seize the day. Seize the day. Grab it. Run with it. Can we do this? I think so. I encourage you with this word today. Discipleship, yeah, it's going to cost. But I'm telling you, the rewards on the other side. Somebody said the retirement plan is great. So in your heart, let's do it. Sing with me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No excuses. Wow. I told you it'd be fun. I said some pretty important things there. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Study it. Listen to it. Go back and read these words again. Take your notes home. Mark it up really good. Use it to encourage yourself on a regular basis. Next week we're back. We're going to pick up with some great, great words from the book of 2 Samuel. So you know what's going to happen now. If you have a great need, by the way, and you need special prayer, people are all around you right there. Some good folks that were leading you in worship, some people that are on duty at the doors. Go to them and maybe agree with them if you have a special need to share. In the meantime, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, and may He grant you peace. Be encouraged. We bless you in Jesus' name. See you next Sunday. Won't you bring a friend? It's going to be good. Don't look back. Keep going. See you.